Thank you. Your dear friends, it is our joy again to come to you with studies in the book of Romans, and we have been discussing in our past lessons the first seven chapters of this amazing foundational book, the book of Romans. And now we come to possibly the crowning chapter of the book, which is chapter 8. And to me, it's a wonderful thing to come to a chapter where the Spirit of God is so evident and is available for God's people, shall I say, to be used by the Spirit so that the Lord will be exalted. We've had in our past lessons our relationship to the old has been destroyed or has been annulled by the death of Christ in chapter 5, from Adam's race and from death. In chapter 6, the relationship to sin as a master has also been broken. And in chapter 7, the death of Christ has severed the relationship with the believer from the law. Everything has been brought to pass because Christ did a perfect work at the cross. And I again repeat it, when Christ died, the believer was identified with him. So now not the law, but a risen Christ in glory is the rule of the believer's life. In chapter 7, you remember, the I, the personal I, was very prominent, and the Spirit wasn't even mentioned. But when we come to chapter 8, it's just the opposite. The Spirit of God is prominent, and the I is out. In chapter 6, we had sanctification because of our union with Christ. In chapter 8, we have sanctification because of the indwelling Spirit. Instead of experiencing the weakness and defeat in chapter 7, we now have life and power and victory by the indwelling Spirit in chapter 8. That's why I said a moment ago, chapter 8 is full of the Spirit. But you know, it is one thing to possess the Spirit of God or to have the Spirit of God indwelling you and me as believers. But it's an entirely different thing for us to use the vast resources which God has given to us. In fact, I would say that a great many Christians are in ignorance of what they have. Hence, they're in bondage, they're full of fear, they do not experience that peace of God which passeth understanding. So it's a wonderful thing when we come to this 8th chapter of Romans, the marvel of what God has for us. Now, in chapter 8, if I might give you a title to it, we are in Christ Jesus, a new life experienced in the power of the Spirit. And as we follow through, we're going to find the wonderful joy of what we had through the cross in chapters 3 through 5, our union with him in chapters 5 through 7, now a new power within by the Spirit of God indwelling us. You will notice that the chapter starts with no condemnation and ends with no separation. I tell you, this is life and liberty and assurance as we read this blessed chapter. Indeed, I'm just going to do this to give you a telescopic vision of the chapter. We are in a new position. We are in Christ. We have a new deliverance from sin and from death. We have a new place in which to live in the Spirit. We have a new relationship. We are the sons of God. We have a new hope. We're going to be transformed and made just like him. And we have a new provision. We have two advocates, one in heaven and one on earth. And then it follows along from verse 28 on through 29. We go right on through. We have the whole purpose of God set before us. And the chapter ends, as I said, with no separation. No power on earth or hell or even heaven can destroy this wonderful union and relationship we have with the living God. It's an amazing chapter, and I trust you'll read it over and over and over again. In fact, it would not hurt you nor me to sit down and just memorize this wonderful 8th chapter of Romans. Now, I would like to read the first 4 verses, if I may. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now we come down to this first verse. Here we have a new position. We are in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now in the King James Version, it adds, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You will notice it is also spoken of in verse 4, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now in the Greek text, if I might be a little technical here, in the Greek text it is not in the first verse. It is in the fourth verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not limited to just a few. It is for any and every believer in Christ Jesus. When you and I accepted the Savior, we were put in Christ. This is a wonderful thing, you know, to know that you and I are never seen any other place by God but in His Son, Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me just stop here for a few moments. Every person is either in Christ or not in Christ. And when he says here, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, he's talking about every true Christian. The strong ones, the weak ones. The spiritual ones, the carnal ones. Every real child of God. And by the way, can I ask you the question, have you personally come into right relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you're religious or if you belong to a church or etc. I'm just asking you one question. Have you come into right relationship with Jesus Christ? You remember John 1:12 says, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And Jesus could say, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And nobody has ever come to Jesus Christ that meant business was ever turned away. He that cometh to me, said Jesus, I will in no wise cast out. I'll never turn him away. There never has been in the last 1900 years any man or woman, I don't care how bad they were, how far deep down they were in sin, if they came wanting to be forgiven, saved, the Lord never turned one away. See, friend, there's hope for you, isn't there? Why don't you accept the Savior? God, this is God's provision for you and for me. So I say again, every one of us, everyone listening to my voice, everyone in the earth is either in Christ or in sin, or they're outside of Christ. Now then, to those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. And the ground is twofold. Allow me to put it this way. There is no condemnation because of what Jesus Christ did at the cross. For example, in John 5:24, Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Now we had that in Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through chapter 4, 25. This question of judgment is passed, righteousness has become our portion. We have been redeemed, forgiven, and pardoned. As we had in Romans 3:24, being declared righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Or Ephesians 1:7, we have forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, repeated again in Colossians 1:14. And as Hebrews 9:12 says, he obtained, he purchased for us an eternal redemption. Every one of our sins are put away and cleansed by what Jesus Christ did at the cross. As the Apostle John wrote, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." Or as John the Baptist introduced Jesus Christ to the people of Israel and to the world when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Hebrews 9:26 declared he appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He was made sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And one could multiply the scriptures. The very evidence of our sin has been destroyed, and we stand before God in all the beauty and preciousness of Christ. In fact, I'm going to be very bold and say this. Just as it is impossible to judge Jesus Christ with respect to sin, because when he was raised from the dead, he was through with the sin question once for all, forever. As you have it in Hebrews 10:12, this man, by one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He finished the job, a perfect job, and you and I are in Christ. I say this reverently, I say it boldly. Just as Jesus Christ will never come into judgment with respect to sin, so this is true of everyone who is in Christ. And please don't say that a person can be a Christian and not in Christ. In fact, they were first called Christians at Antioch. Do you remember? Christ in them. That's what a Christian is, one in whom Christ dwells. And we are in him. He is in us. We've been united. And just as he is through with the sin question, so are the believers. Now, the second ground, because there's no condemnation, is because, as I said a moment ago, we were in him. Our union in Christ makes us free. Now, in chapter 6 of Romans, we were delivered from the power of sin. In chapter 8, he declares we're free from the judgment of sin. I like that verse in 1 John 4:17. You remember where John writes, "We have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." You know, I can't help but tell you this. The first time I saw that verse, 1 John 4:17, it struck me so forcibly. I'd only been a Christian a few weeks, in fact, only 2 or 3 months. And I used to go down and be with a dear man who was a barber, a wonderful Christian barber. He was a bald-headed barber, by the way. And his name was Spencer in Calgary, Alberta. And when at 6 o'clock at night, he'd pull the shade on his shop, and only those who were in the shop could be taken care of. Well, I was up in my room reading the Bible, and I came across this verse. "We have boldness in the day of judgment, because as Jesus Christ is, so are we in this world." I jumped up and ran down to the barbershop 3 or 4 blocks away, knocked on the door. It was past 6 o'clock, and he peeked behind the shade, saw how it was, and he opened the door and let me in. And here he was, standing by a fellow who's going to shave him. And I said, "Headley, listen to this." And I quoted this verse. And he kept on stropping his razor enough to say, "Well, what of it?" And I said, "Man, don't you see it?" And he said, "Oh, yes." He said, "I've known that for a long time." I said, "You mean to tell me that you've known this a long time and didn't tell me?" And he kind of laughed and he said, "Son, there are so many things in the Word of God that you've never seen. And as you grow in the grace of God, you'll come to it." But in fact, he picked my bubble, to be frank with you. He just pricked it. And I sneaked out of the shop, went back to my room. I don't think he was wise in dealing with me, because I was a babe in Christ, didn't know very much. And instead of encouraging me, he kind of discouraged me. Please don't discourage young believers. If they come to you with and are full of joy because of some truth that you have known for 40 years, more or less, you just nod your head and say, "Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? My, that's wonderful." Because it is. Listen to it. We have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. So we have in this first verse, we are in a new position in Christ. And being in Christ, there is no could not be any condemnation. There wouldn't be any peace or joy if there was condemnation. You mean telling me, sir, that you're going to go into the presence of God without any fear of condemnation? That's correct. You mean you'll not come into judgment with respect to sin? That's correct. Jesus Christ bore all my sin, and he put them all away. As we had in chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. Christ paid those wages. We go free. I wish in some way I could put this so simply that everybody who listens in, from the oldest to the youngest, that this truth will just grip your heart. Because of what Christ did at the cross, and because of your union with Christ, because you are in Christ Jesus. And again, my friend, may I say, God never sees you any other place but in Christ. Didn't the Lord say in John 14:20, "In that day when the Spirit of God indwells you, in that day you will know I am in my Father and you are in me, I am in you." We are in Christ. And being in Christ, the impossibility of condemnation. That's why we can say, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I tell you, it's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to know that any time, if we were to leave this world in a split second, you wouldn't have a chance to pray or confess, everything else. You come right into the very presence of God. If you're putting your trust in the Savior, you've received him as your Savior, and you stand before God in all the righteousness and beauty of Christ. No sin, no judgment. I'm talking about just simple salvation, friend. And I like this chapter because it starts, there is no condemnation. The chapter ends, there's no separation. The impossibility of separating a believer from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now, having said this, we come to verses 2 to 4. Verses 2 to 4. And here we have a new deliverance. No longer under the power of sin and bondage of death, but we're under a new principle of operation. And you notice there are two laws in this verse. And I'm going to read it to you. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set me free, emancipated me from the law of sin and the law of death. Oh, wonderful, wonderful thing. No condemnation. Never to come into judgment. And to be eternally, completely free from the law of sin and from the law of death. And I'm going to take that up. In our next lesson, I want you to know, my friend, if I'm talking to you who are a Christian, won't you revel in this wonderful fact that Christ did such a perfect work for you and for me that we come in the presence of God? No condemnation. No one is going to be able to produce any evidence in the presence of God that you and I were ever sinners. No wonder we sing that song, "Hallelujah, what a Savior. Man of sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came ruined sinners to proclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior." Wonderful, wonderful thing to be saved, to know you're saved, and that you can come in the presence of God at any time and have fellowship with him. Now, why don't you today do that? Read Romans chapter 8, come in the presence of the Lord and discuss the matter with him. Discuss the chapter with him. Pour out your heart to him. He just loves to have you come within the veil in the presence of God and talk to him face to face. This is why he made you the way you are. He gave you the power to communicate with him. Why don't you do it? Enjoy the Lord. Don't endure some religion. Enjoy the Lord himself. Enjoy your salvation in Christ Jesus. And the Lord wonderfully, richly, marvelously bless you today.